Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We are living in an age of apostasy and we're dealing with how to handle that. Stay tuned. We've been talking about dealing with apostasy. Now, to deal with something means the particular way in which we behave towards someone. Now, we're talking about apostates and we're talking about apostasy, and we need to make sure that we know the difference between those two. An apostate is the person. Apostasy is the poison that he is spreading. And so we need to make sure that we understand that, you know, we hate apostasy. We don't hate apostates. Now, in dealing with things, the Bible has told us how to behave. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul said to Timothy, he wrote to the pastor, and he said in Ephesus there, and he says, "These things write I unto you, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." So we've got directions as to what to do. Now, to understand apostasy, we need to understand how it happens. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 25, the Bible says, Jesus said, "While men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, usually we have a picture of that as the fellow out there in a wheat field throwing tares around. That's not what it says. What it says was the people who were going to be sowing the wheat, which represents the Word of God, were sleeping, and while they were sleeping, the enemy came and put the tares in among the wheat, and then he went his way and left it for those who thought they were sowing wheat to be sowing wheat and tares at the same time. Then in Matthew 28, verse 30, we read, "The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." It's too late. That's what he's saying here. He's not saying, oh, it's okay for us to get along, let them in there and then infiltrate. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is it's too late now. He said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now, we've been looking in previous broadcasts at how to survive during the age of apostasy. We're going to go back now to verse number 1 and go through here and look at what this apostasy is really all about. In verse 1, Jude, it says, "The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Now, he says, "them that are sanctified." That means to be set apart for a purpose, and we as Christians are. We need to find God's purpose for your life if you want to enjoy this life as a Christian. Sanctified by God and preserved, that is 1 Peter 1 and 5 says, we are kept by the power of God in Jesus Christ, it says, preserved in Christ. And then it says, and called. A call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all of us as Christians. We need to be about the Master's work. Well, then in verse 2, we have these three words, mercy, peace, and love. Interesting words. Mercy, what is that? Well, let's read the verse. "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Mercy is the desire to help the undeserving. There's a lot of people out there that are undeserving of our help, and if we are merciful like Jesus was, and like we need to be in the age of apostasy, we need to have the desire to help people who are undeserving. Then he talks about peace. Isaiah 26, 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And then he says, "Love be multiplied." Now, this is Jude's love letter. What does he do in his love letter? He says, "Love be multiplied." Well, in love, he is exposing the filthy dreamers in verse 8. In love, he is exposing the way of Cain in verse 11. In love, he is exposing the error prayer of Balaam in verse number 11. He is exposing the gainsaying of Kor in love. He is exposing the spots in their feasts. He is exposing the murmurers and the complainers, verse 16. He is exposing those who are walking after their own lusts. In love, he is exposing those who are using great swelling words and taking advantage of people. In love, he is exposing the mockers at the end of the age, verse 18. And then verse 19, in love, he is exposing the sensual who have not the Spirit. Now, that's love. We think love is, just don't cause any trouble. No, love is when you will expose those people who are going to harm some people. Genuine love protects those who are in danger. And there's a lot of people in danger today because of this common salvation, which is flooding around, that says you do not need to repent in order to be saved. And not only that, genuine love protects what is in danger, and we're dealing with the truth. Well, first of all, concerning Jude's love, we see in verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. The servant, that word servant means bond slave, and a bond slave became a bond slave by choice, and he had no rights whatsoever. Jude had a love for Christ. Then he had a love for Christians. He said, it was needful for me to write. He could have stayed home and planted a garden. He could have stayed home and got a, had a barbecue in the backyard or something. No, he was concerned about other Christians. Jude had a love for Christ. He had a love for Christians. And he also had a love for the cause, which is the truth. The Bible says we need to be speaking the truth in love. Love desires the best for the ones that it loves, and love defends the ones that it loves. Now, the key verse here is verse number 3. Let's read it. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, he said it's urgent. It's urgent. Something that's urgent is something that requires immediate action or attention. He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you. It was needful that you should earnestly contend for the faith. He is dealing with something here that is very urgent. Then he says, I gave all diligence. Now, to give all diligence is to emphasize the greatest possible amount of diligence that he could give. When Paul wrote to the pastor at Ephesus in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, in other words, this can't wait, thou, you need to know how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, back here in verse number 4, we see here the urgency is about the fact that there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says they crept in. The first mention in the New Testament of certain men that crept in, the first mention is in Acts 15 and 1, and they also were corrupting the plan of salvation. It says, and certain men taught the brethren, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, in our verse here, in verse number 3, But beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, there is no but here that says he's changing the subject. He doesn't say, but it was needful for me to write. What he says was he's concerned about the common salvation, and as a result of this common salvation, it was needful for him to write and to earnestly tell them to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, this word common, the Greek word in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2, has been translated defiled. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 28, it is translated unholy thing. So what he's talking about here, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of this defiled, unclean, unholy salvation that is being presented these days, it is needful for me to write unto you and tell you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He said, "I exhort you, you need to earnestly contend." In this present age of apostasy that we are living in today, we are plagued with this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that says you do not need to repent in order to be saved. Now, what we need to do is to figure out, if we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, how do we contend? What do we do? Well, the dictionary says to contend is to assert something as a position in an argument, and to assert it with conviction. To assert something is to state a fact confidently and forcefully. Now, Jude said they crept in verse 4. He said, "There are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it says they crept in. They crept in. They are not explosive. They are corrosive. It takes a long time for something to be corroded, and they don't come in and just explode and say, "This is the way we're doing it." They're very, very corrosive in how they work. Jude says these certain men crept in unawares, and they're unawares because of the fact that Christian leaders and church members alike are without discernment today to know who they are and what they're doing. Jude goes on in verse 4 to say they were before of old ordained. That is, they were designated beforehand in the Old Testament that this would happen, and their condemnation or their judgment was explained beforehand. The word condemnation has been translated judgment 13 times in the New Testament. Well, we see that it also says that they were ungodly men. Now, you have the word godly, you have the word ungodly. Godly, of course, is to be godly. If you put the little UN in front of it, what it does is it denotes the absence of something, and is denoting the absence of being godly. That is, anything that is contrary to the word of God is ungodly. It doesn't necessarily mean that these people are going to come in and they're going to present immorality. They're just going to present a common, unclean, defiled type of salvation. Now, Jude deals with two different types of promoters of apostasy. There's one type that is unsaved. He says in Jude 1 and 13, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And then there's another group, and 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 tells us about them. It says, "There shall be false teachers among you, even denying the Lord that bought them." That word "bought" has been translated "redeemed" 3 times. And so he's talking about the fact that unsaved people will present apostasy, but also that Christians, even denying the Lord that brought them, shall be presenting apostasy in these last days in which we are living now. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, he said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who shall privily or secretly bring in their damnable heresy," and that is this common salvation, "even denying the Lord that bought them." Even, a surprising thing here that Christians would be doing this. And he said they'll bring upon themselves swift destruction. That word "destruction" has been translated "waste" in 2 other places. Peter warned in 2 Peter 2 and 2, he said, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." That's the same word translated "destruction" in verse 1. And then Paul warned in Acts chapter 20 and verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Well, he says these ungodly men are going to be turning. The word has been translated change in Hebrews 7 and 12. Change the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord. Now, that word lasciviousness has been translated wantonness in two occasions. And what it's talking about is they're just going to do what they want, never mind what the Bible says. Well, Paul said in Galatians 1 and 6, he said, I marvel you're so soon removed to another gospel. And he's talking about the same thing here. We'll have to look at it in our next broadcast. Tune in.